Thank you so much for tuning into Let's Talk, the official podcast of the National Runaway Safe Line, or NRS. At NRS, we operate the federally designated national communication system for youth who have run away, are experiencing homelessness, or who may be considering leaving home. For over 50 years, we have provided crisis support and resources for young people, families, and communities across the nation. I'm so excited to welcome you all to National Runaway Prevention Month. Each November is National Runaway Prevention Month, or NRPM, which is a public awareness campaign designed to shine a light on the experiences of youth who have run away and youth who have experienced homelessness that often remain invisible. Over the past few months, I've had the awesome opportunity to connect with youth-facing organizations and individuals, including young people. Please, please take a moment to visit 1-800-runaway.org/NRPM to learn how you can get involved in this incredible campaign, and rest assured that NRS has worked hard to make taking action easier than ever this year. Keeping up with traditions, we will have an episode of the Let's Talk podcast every week during NRPM. And this year we're lucky because we actually have 5 weeks in November. So we'll be featuring 4 different youth-facing organizations throughout the month. And then this week, we'll be starting off having a conversation with the NRS Chief Executive Officer, Susan Frankel, as well as, later in the episode, the new chair of the NRS Board of Directors, Melanie Hill. Susan, whenever you're ready, go ahead and introduce yourself for everyone.
Hi, Christopher. It is good to be with you today to talk about all things National Runaway Prevention Month. I am Susan Frankel, and I am the CEO of the National Runaway Safe Line, and I use she, her pronouns.
How long have you, can you remind us how long you've been with National Runaway Safe Line? And if you can recall, how many times you've celebrated or participated in National Runaway Prevention Month?
I had to do a quick counting on my fingers, actually, which is a little bit sad, but I joined the National Runaway Safe Line in August of 2018, so this is my 6th National Runaway Prevention Month, which is hard to believe.
Now, since I've been with the organization, every year NRPM has gotten bigger, and especially last year was definitely the biggest year with over 200 partners. What are some of the things that have changed with NRS since our last National Runaway Prevention Month campaign?
Well, I always sort of joke that years with National Runaway Safe Line are sort of like dog years, right? We get a lot packed into every year, and so we try to get as much accomplished and done as possible, just knowing how much we need to be doing to impact the lives of so many young people who not only need the safe line, but all of those hundreds of partners you're referring to with NRPM. So I think as usual, we are just upping our efforts and continuing to improve upon what we've been doing in previous years. But when I think back over the last year, I mean, you have taken this podcast to such amazing new places and spaces, and some of the voices that can be heard on this podcast, particularly those of young people with lived experience, but not only with lived experience, but experiences that are so critical to truly making an impact on how we as a country and as organizations can prevent and end youth homelessness. I think that is enormous. The work that is being done with our National Youth Advisory Board is just, I'm really proud of that work and really excited about the role that the YAB is playing. Again, not just with the National Runaway Safe Line, but in so many places and spaces where young people are showing up and young people are really amplifying what the needs are and how in this country we just can do such a better job at supporting people experiencing homelessness if we simply sit back and listen and take their advice. And then certainly, of course, we've made so many great strides in building more national relationships and partnerships and really pushing ourselves to be a louder, more important voice serving young people experiencing homelessness or who've left home or who are experiencing some level of crisis.
Yeah, I'm so lucky to be in a role with this organization where I can constantly learn from young people. I remember, like, from the very first day that I interviewed with NRS, you brought up how important it was for the organization as a whole to increase the amount of support that it offered young people outside of the crisis line through channels like our Youth Advisory Board. And it's been so amazing to see the Youth Advisory Board and other young people be a part of more and more of NRS events and awareness and outreach over the past year, whether it was at our annual Spirit of Youth fundraising gala or through the different work we're doing in the communications world with different ads that we're going to be showing during National Runaway Prevention Month that I'm excited about. But I also want to bring attention to something that makes me like even more proud of being a part of the organization. And another thing that you mentioned during my very first interview, if I'm not mistaken, is you just brought on the very first board chair who is a person of color and also a woman, Melanie Hill. Can you talk about how important of a big step that is for National Runaway Safe Line?
Yeah, I'm so excited about that for so many reasons. First of all, Melanie has been a member of our board of directors since 2017. So she is not new to this work or new to the organization. She has been doing the work and really supporting our efforts, again, going on, 6 or 7 years. So I think that is particularly critical, but I also think it's really important. Melanie brings a lot of just amazing, big strategic thinking and this ability to really take information and consolidate it into ways that she's really helping to shape our message and help the direction that we're moving. And she's been integral over the last year in helping us shape a new strategic plan for the organization and a new strategic direction that we are working on finishing by the end of this year. But that plan and that vision that Melanie is bringing, along with several other board members, of course, or the whole board. But I think that coupled with the reality that, as you mentioned, Melanie is representing a community of color, and she, and both as a female and as a person of color, I think it helps drive us to think even bigger and broader and differently in terms of how we continue to strive to include diverse and unique voices at the table. I know that she is extremely passionate about having young people included in all of these conversations as well. So I think, you know, what it also just, it's not simply a symbolic move. It's working to have somebody in this really critical role at a really instrumental and critical time for the National Runaway Safe Line, who can lead us in the direction that we're looking to move. And so that all of that combined, I think, helps us to not only talk about making change and talk about including diverse voices and diverse communities, but actually doing it.
I love that. And I love Melanie. I'm so excited to bring her on in this capacity, or like to see her taking on this role with this capacity in the organization. And I know so many great things are going to happen. And along with Melanie, we've brought in so many young people to the organization through our Youth Advisory Board. What are some of the new things that NRS is doing with young people this year during NRPM? And why is it so important to like incorporate their voice into the work that we do?
Well, first of all, I think it's really important to incorporate their voice, because I think that as a group of adults, while we certainly bring some level of expertise and past experiences and our own personal viewpoints and our perspectives and our own experiences to do this work, we also have to make sure we're listening to the people who are being affected or impacted by our decisions or by the work that we're doing. So that in and of itself, I think, is important in any place or space that you're working, right? Mm-hmm. You can't build things or create things or design policies or design programs if they aren't designed with the input or for the people who will actually be using them. But I also, you know, I'm so excited, because really we're pushing ourselves to make sure that in most spaces that we're in, that young people are there with us. So whether it's presenting at our national training that's coming up at the end of November and having a youth voice both co-leading and co-presenting, I think in a workshop actually with you, Christopher, mm-hmm. about how to include the youth voice. But we're really super excited. We're hosting three events in different cities, the first kicking off in Atlanta and then moving on to actually coming back to Chicago and then on to Dallas in the middle of November. All three of those events will also feature young people and include young people in those conversations and those dialogues. All three are focused on how do we do better? How do we challenge local communities to not only highlight local youth leaders and youth voices, but how does the corporate world and decision makers and community leaders come together with young people and make that kind of change and make that difference? I think that any place we are working very closely with our federal partners as well. But we're really trying to find opportunities where young people are sitting down at tables with national leaders and national policymakers and making that effort. And then, you know, we certainly, by including right now a part-time with the hope of making it a full-time position for a youth fellow who's someone with, you know, Sharday, who is part of our team, is somebody with her own story and her own past experience, but what she brings, that coupled with just her amazing energy and her amazing passion for this work, I think are all just different places and spaces where we're really trying to make sure, again, that we're leaning in and walking the walk. We're not just saying that we want young people at the table. We're really trying to move out of the way and add as many seats as we possibly can to make that happen.
Absolutely. And I of course, am a huge fan of Sharday. She was the very first or the second episode of the podcast this season. She bravely told her story and shared a lot of information with us about her experience, which, you know, of course, informs a lot of the work that we do. So it's really exciting. She, if I'm not mistaken, is also going to be the, not a panelist, but she is facilitating one of the events that you're having in Chicago, correct?
Events that we are having, Christopher. You are part of this team, but Sharday is the moderator for the Dallas-based event, gotcha, where we are super excited. We're having the CEO of Greyhound and a partner from PwC and someone from downtown Dallas Inc. coming together to talk about what companies are currently doing in the Dallas community, in the Dallas area to affect preventing and ending youth homelessness. And Sharday is going to be leading these this group of corporate leaders in a really important conversation.
So I hear from like the people who have registered as partners and other people who are really interested in joining as partners have reached out saying, you know, I'm struggling to find ways to include young people in the work that we do for National Runaway Prevention Month. Do you have any words of encouragement or any words of support or ideas for them to get young people involved?
Yeah, I mean, I guess my question would be, is the struggle because they don't have young people to include, or they aren't connected enough to groups of young people, or is it that they're struggling to think about what the role is?
I think it's a twofold thing. I think there has been a lot of messaging over the past couple of years about the importance of making sure that you pay people, especially young people, for their expertise, and then also figuring out different ways to work with young people in a way that doesn't feel like voyeuristic, or a way that doesn't feel like you're kind of taking advantage of them, and if that makes any sense.
Yeah, no, that's super helpful. So I think to the point about paying young people, it's critical. So right, we're asking young people to take their time to share their expertise with us, so much like we would pay or support any other adult or human speaker that is joining in any kind of event or conversation. They're going to be compensated. Most often, maybe they're being compensated by the company they work for, the organization they work for, but it's really important to, you know, they're taking their time and we need to acknowledge that. But at the same time, I think it's also about, I understand the dilemma. We've actually been having a lot of conversations internally. How do we make sure that young people are at the table, not just because of their identity as somebody who has lived experience? That's only really a part of who they are. And it's really up to young people to share what they are most comfortable with and what they want to share. But really what they are coming to the table with is the expertise of knowing the different systems and what and how to navigate those systems, or how difficult it was to navigate those systems, or what kinds of things might have improved their own experience or their own lives. And they can see that from a very different lens that I could, than I or you or other folks sitting there could ever sort of have that perspective. And I think that really recognizing that and understanding that that's why they are there, and sort of leaning into that, I think is the most important piece.
And I have one last question. If there's one thing that for all of the people who are registering as partners and participating in NRPM in different ways, what's one big takeaway that you think everyone universally should take away from participating in NRPM?
So it's really an interesting question, because I sometimes find myself when I'm talking to, particularly as we're trying to really attract a broader range of partners, you know, we do a lot of outreach to the runaway and homeless youth community. And in many ways, when we do that, and that we don't have to work or build the relationships, but there's sort of an immediate connection or an immediate common language. But when we're reaching out to companies or organizations that are a little bit more outside of the scope and trying to explain to them what this is you are putting your name here because you are saying that you will not tolerate what's happening to young people in this country, and that you will not tolerate that we're okay with 4.2 million young people experiencing homelessness at some time during the course of a given year. And that's what you're here for, and that's why you're signing up. So you can do as many events or as few events as makes sense, but really what's most important is that you are raising your hand and putting your name on, you know, and joining us to say this isn't tolerable and we won't stand for it anymore. And that's what it's about.
Wow, thank you so much, Susan. I really appreciate you, and I really appreciate you breaking down what it truly means to be an NRPM partner and a youth ambassador. There are so many youth-facing organizations out there that are already doing the work, and I highly encourage you to sign up as an NRPM partner if you haven't already. You can do so by visiting 1-800-runaway.org/NRPM. All of the information that you need will be there, as well as tons and tons of free resources that we've made available for you to make sure that participating in this campaign is as easy as possible. For our second portion of the podcast, I am truly honored to welcome Melanie Hill to the podcast. Melanie Hill is the first person of color to ever hold the chair position on the NRS Board of Directors, and I honestly couldn't be more proud, as you'll hear me gushing throughout the episode. Melanie, whenever you're ready, why don't you go ahead and give yourself an introduction?
My name is Melanie Hill. My pronouns are she and her, and I am currently the Director of Retail Strategy and Innovation for Ace Hardware Corporation, based out of Oak Brook, Illinois. I am a longstanding board member of the National Runaway Safe Line, board member since 2017, and now the new incoming board chair for NRS.
Yeah, Susan just spent a good amount of time.
1 week.
1 week. And Susan just spent a good amount of time gushing about you and all of the great work that you've done over the last few years. What is it that brought you to the board of directors in the first place?
Yeah, to be honest with you, what brought me to NRS as a board member actually was I was just trying to give back my time. And so, you know, I had just come out of school, had been working for a few years, and was looking for ways out of my MBA to give back. I'd learned so much business acumen, and I'm like, this could be used for good, right? And originally, I was looking to be a volunteer and just volunteer my time, just having more time in my schedule. And then I was approached by Maureen, someone who was with NRS previously and knew someone that was in my family, and suggested I become a board member. And for me, that was something that was foreign to me, to be honest with you. It was the first board that I had been approached by at that time. And I had always had a vision of boards where, you know, people and offices like telling other groups what to do. And in talking to Maureen and getting to know NRS as an organization, I realized it's more about taking what you know and your level of expertise and giving that to an organization that can use that level of expertise to grow. And so I was really interested in that. It kind of, you know, really excited me to provide the opportunity to take all the blessings that I think I've been provided in terms of education and career opportunities, and funnel all that knowledge into something that can grow an organization that can give back, especially to children. I have a soft spot for children and children's needs. I think that everyone deserves to be safe and have opportunities to grow themselves. And so I think NRS really provided that opportunity for me, and I was really excited to be a member of the board.
And it's actually kind of, it's, I wouldn't say it's funny, but it's really interesting because I think in my first year or at NRS, or maybe my second year, your sister actually joined the organization temporarily.
Yes.
To work, help us work on our diversity, equity, inclusion, and justice initiative, which ultimately like started a conversation about maybe reevaluating what our mission and vision are, and helped redirect us in the direction that we're going in now, where we're including more youth people, young people, and the youth voice in the work that we do, and also trying to continue to diversify 100%. The organization on different levels, whether it's the people who work for the organization, the people that we're reaching out to, the people that we partner with, et cetera. And that the reason that that's interesting is because you are the very first person of color board chair of the National Runaway Safe Line.
Yes.
How does that, I mean, I don't have any question other than like, how does that feel?
Yeah, I actually was surprised, but not surprised, if that makes sense. as, you know, an African-American woman in corporate America, very often we are the first or the only in the room. And so I've gotten used to it in my career. But when Susan mentioned that to me, I think it brought a level of importance to the role. Not that the role wasn't important before. Definitely everything that I do with NRS and what NRS does in terms of the services that it provides, you know, at-risk youth is really important. But I think I envisioned my time as board chair in a different way, knowing that I was a person of color within NRS's history, being in a leadership role on the board, knowing that the people that we serve are people of color. And I think, you know, I always have this saying that, like, you've got to be in proximity to really be able to service and understand who you're servicing. And so hopefully I can bring a little bit of that to the board and our strategy. As you mentioned, my sister, she works in DE&I, and that's her background. But I hope that I bring that idea of diversity, and diversity, not necessarily in terms of race, but also in terms of gender orientation, sexual orientation, background in terms of corporate experience, geographic diversity. I think it's really important for all teams to really grow, to be diverse. And so hopefully I bring a little bit of that to the board.
Yeah. And you make me personally very proud. I've watched NRS work really hard to try to figure out the best ways to bring in more people of color and do it with good reason, like with intention, and so that it's not just like a figurehead being placed. And it makes me so proud to see you in this role, because I know I've seen you do the work, I've seen you in action, and I know that you're about that business. So I'm very happy for you, and I'm so proud to see you there. Are there any connections between the work that you do in your career with Ace Hardware versus the work that you do on the board of directors?
Yeah, most definitely. I always say that I like solving difficult problems. That has always been my role. So previous to my time at Ace Hardware, I was the senior global director for the smart grilling division of Weber Grills. And so my job was to create new grills that had not existed based on the way that people grill, and think about ways to bring connected technologies to those grills, and then figure out how to sell them, and figure out how to price them, figure out how to market them. And so I love challenges. And I do think some of that, as well as what I'm doing at Ace Hardware in terms of bringing new innovation to a hardware retail space, is about figuring out how you can grow and how you can grow responsibly. And so I think those just business acumen ideas of getting really close to who is your consumer or who are you servicing is really important. I really bring that point of view, and hopefully will bring that point of view to my time as board chair in terms of really amplifying the youth voice. I think that's really important, because that's the people that we serve. And so the board should be really close to understanding how and where and when we are servicing those at-risk youth. So that same idea of whether you're trying to attract a consumer to buy your product, or you're trying to understand how you can better serve someone who is in crisis, same approach of really understanding that person. And then I think that the business acumen of just understanding what are ways in which you can grow and grow in ways that benefit all of the partners and the people that you're serving is really important as well. And so I don't know, I think a little bit of I love a challenge. And I think some of that probably penance for curiosity, innovation, business challenge, business solutions, hopefully will help the NRS board to help steerhead kind of the new strategies and growth opportunities for NRS.
Now you spent a lot of how was the time you spent on the board of directors and work? And I would say more particularly like working with an organization that works directly with young people who are experiencing different crises. Has that informed your own values?
Yeah, I think to be honest, I mentioned that I joined NRS because I was just looking for a way to give back. But in being and learning more about NRS and hearing the ways in which we support at-risk youth and hearing the stories, I think it puts your life in perspective and it makes you even more responsible as someone who needs to give back. You realize all the blessings in your life, whether they're small ones, you know, you wake up in the morning and you're like, gosh darn it, you know, I'm waking up late and I've got to take a shower, you know, really quickly and get to work. And man, I wish I could sleep in this nice warm bed. And you realize some people don't have a nice warm bed to sleep in or a job to get ready to go to. And so it just puts your life in perspective. And I think for anyone who's looking to volunteer or be a part of a board or join a nonprofit or a service organization, hopefully it's that daily reminder that all the gifts that you've been given should be shared, whether it's financially or through your time and your effort and your expertise. I think for me, that was my big aha in getting closer to NRS is really just truly being and living a grateful life.
I'm with you 100%. I say it all the time, and I find myself saying it mostly to people who do have lived experience. I'll be like, wow, that was such a perspective check. And they're like, what? I don't get it. Like, how so? And I'm like, as somebody coming from, like, I've lived a very, very privileged life, and I come into this industry not knowing the full breadth of experiences that people have when they're like making a difficult choice to leave home, or if they've been kicked out of home, or if they're like for any other reason not at home. So like hearing that from another person who I like me is coming kind of from the outside looking in, it's great to hear that there are constantly like these perspective checks that help kind of make me reshape how I think about things and what's important and what's urgent more than
anything. What is truly urgent and what is valued in your life. And I think the other flip side, because I don't want it to seem like it's very much like, oh, perspective, like I'm doing all these awesome things and I should think about people that don't have the opportunities that I have. I think it's beyond that. It's also like recognizing that you have these opportunities and these blessings, but then doing something about making sure other people have those opportunities and blessings. And I think that's the perspective, that it's not just, wow, I'm, you know, in a blessed position, but it's also like, to much is given, much is due. And because you have been given those things, you need to be the one to give back and make sure that everybody's on the same level.
Yeah, I think I like in my mind a lot, it's like, instead of being like, wow, I've never looked at it from that way. I've never seen it from that way. I've tried to reframe it and be like, wow, I didn't know that I could be helpful by doing this, or that
I could
make the difference in a young person's life by correctly gendering them, or you know, it's not necessarily
the
about like
things.
Understanding homelessness, or it's just about being more self-aware and being more kind to and like to yourself even and other people.
And I think it's a lot of people think of volunteering as like, or fundraising as I need to write a big check. I've got money, so I need to write a big check. But like you said, it's the little things of correctly gendering someone or just listening to someone's problems that you don't realize that is helping. So yeah, I think for me, that was eye-opening, joining and understanding what NRS is really about.
Absolutely. We through our youth advisory program, we of course pay our youth advisory board members anytime that they share their expertise with us. But when we ask them, like, what are the other things that they're hoping to get from the organization, most of the time it was education. They were like, we want to learn things. Like, I have a young person, Ajax, who you guys will hear on the front and back ends of some of the podcast episodes, who just wanted to learn about audio editing and engineering. And because I do that regularly for the podcast, it's just become an easy opportunity for them to kind of like take note and learn from me. And then take the opportunity also to learn things together, to do whatever it is that I'm doing that can help them be more prepared in the future. Speaking of, do you have any like goals coming in as your first year? As somebody who's seen other board chairs come in and like do their thing for a couple of years or however long, do you have your own goals for how you want this first year to go?
Yeah, I would say I'm a week in, but I would say, you know, my hope for my tenure as board chair is to really build on the momentum and the strong foundations that previous board chairs have built for NRS, along with the staff like yourself. Take that strong foundation and amplify it in ways in which we can expand our services. We know coming out of COVID and the pandemic, there is an ever increasing need for crisis services, and it's always growing. And so my goal as board chair is really to look for, you know, distinct ways, and I call them big rocks. You may have heard me say this. What are NRS's five big rocks? Five things that we can accomplish in the next 2 years to really grow our impact. I mean, they can be as simple as, hey, we would like to implement new technologies to be able to reach more youth via chat and social and new text ways of communicating. It could be as big as, hey, we want to build a whole new building to house all of the staff and the crisis service staff. But really getting centered on what are those focus areas? Because I think by defining and all aligning to those focus areas, you know where you're going, you know how to fundraise for those goals, and so that you can be very directive in what you're looking for and what support looks like from your partners, from donors, et cetera. And then you can also measure that success. Like, did we actually accomplish those things? In my role, so I mentioned I do strategy and innovation for Ace Hardware, and I always say that it's really important to understand what you're trying to do, because you're trying to also understand what are you not going to do. There's always a lot of opportunities. There's always numerous ways in which you can grow. But what happens is you're a mile long and an inch thick. You try to do everything, but you're not able to do everything well. And so that's my goal with our time at board chair is, or my time at board as board chair is really defining what are those five big rocks and strategies for growth. Implementing those strategies and those tactics, and then measuring how successful they were, and using them as opportunities to grow and diversify our funding opportunities.
I love that. And you're no stranger to National Runaway Prevention Month. Is there any like words of wisdom that you have for-profit organizations or businesses that want to get involved, or even an understanding of why it is important for-profit businesses to like support national nonprofits?
I think, one of the reasons I think it's one really important for organizations to be involved with the National Runaway Prevention Month is one, it's always good to give back. You know, these are the people that, you know, support your businesses, grow your profit organizations. You should always give back, right? That's kind of like table stakes. But what I think is really important is you investing in the growth of America's youth and the providing safe spaces for America's youth. That youth can be your next leader. That youth could be your next CEO. That youth could be your next, you know, finance leader, your next marketing CMO. And so I think there's a little bit of investing in the future of your company by investing in social services that support our youth. And you know, I think that's a different way to think about it, but I'm always thinking about who else is going to join my team. And I look at, you mentioned the Youth Advisory Board. I would love to have them join Ace Hardware organization. The way they think, their passion for winning, that's the kind of stuff that you can't teach. And so being able to harness that in youth, being able to make sure that all youth are safe and not on the streets and not experiencing homelessness, that can lead to your next, you know, board chair.
Wow. Okay. I got so caught up with the conversation, I didn't even realize that was my last question. So I want to go ahead and take the time now to thank you, Melanie, for taking the time to speak with us today and talking to all of the other business professionals out there who should be supporting National Runaway Prevention Month and supporting young people in different ways year round. I really appreciate you. And I'm so proud of you again. I'll say it a million times. And I want to thank you, all of you who are listening to the Let's Talk podcast, for tuning in today. I implore you to spend some time looking at 1-800-RUNAWAY.org/NRPM, thinking of different ways that you can support young people in your community and spread awareness. Talk to other businesses, local businesses in your community. Talk with people in your community. And most importantly, talk to the youth in your community, whether they have lived experience or not. They have so much to offer, and you're really missing out if you're not counting on the youth to add to your perspective. Thank you so much. And I can't wait for you guys to hear the rest of the episodes for National Runaway Prevention Month.
Hey, I'm Ajax, a member of the National Runaway Safeline Youth Advisory Board. You can support us by following our social media accounts. Follow us on Instagram, Threads, Facebook, and X, formerly Twitter, at 1-800-RUNAWAY. We're also on TikTok, YouTube Shorts, and LinkedIn at National Runaway Safeline. Transcripts for the Let's Talk podcast are available at 1-800-RUNAWAY.org/transcripts.